I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. The headlines: Ghana Medical Association calls off strike. NADMO provides relief items and shelter for flood victims. Vice President Mahama in Perth, Australia to attend Commonwealth Summit. Millennium Challenge Cooperation pledges support to complete remaining projects under package. Cocoa Board asks stakeholders to focus on reducing deforestation. Liberia's opposition leader threatens to boycott presidential runoff, and Libya asks UN to delay lifting of no-fly zone imposed on country.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The Ghana Medical Association has called off its strike due to the numerous appeals made by people and the current flood situation in Accra. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Assistant General Secretary of the GMA, Dr. Frank Swebo, said the association's decision is not because the GMA has reached any agreement with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. However, it is hopeful that something good will come out of the arbitration process.
The decision was informed by a lot of things, but among them is the fact that the National Executive Council of the Ghana Medical Association felt that now the appeals have become too much, and that at a point you have to listen to the appeals that so many Ghanaians and civil society groups have been turning out all over the place and trying to get results work. And our own members, in fact, when the Accra flash occurred yesterday night, have kept on informing the Executive Council and sending text messages and emails and all that, telling us that because there is this national disaster, we cannot still continue to be on strike because they are sure. So actually, we have a social forum, in actual fact, and the social forum is all doctors. And the forum today, there was a lot of messages from early morning that with this flood and this attendance, humanitarian crisis and so forth, they don't think that it's prudent for us to still continue to be on strike. And the executives also took into consideration the fact that already the National Labour Commission have already set up the compulsory arbitration process in motion. And for us to be able to go through it, there is a need for us to call off the strike, because if we are still on strike, it means that the Labour Commission may not be able to engage us in the compulsory arbitration process. So putting all these things together, we realize that we feel that it's time that we call off the strike and that the statement has been made, and that next time we hope that we don't take us for granted anymore. We avail ourselves to the compulsory arbitration, hoping to receive justice at the National Labour Commission so that it does not result into another matter altogether again.
You heard Assistant General Secretary of the GMA, Dr. Frank Serebo. Before the doctors suspended their strike, they went into compulsory arbitration with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. The arbitration was, however, adjourned to today. This is the second adjournment since the two parties were forced to take the path of compulsory arbitration. Yvonne Atilago has the details.
Representatives of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and the Ghana Medical Association went into compulsory arbitration at the scheduled time at midday. The smiles they spotted and the general body language they exhibited gave a ray of hope that something good was in the offing. After 45 minutes of closed-door meeting, all those fizzled out. Like the previous meeting, both parties were tight-lipped. As a result, newsmen around failed to extract any information from them as to what transpired at the meeting. The only words they uttered to news-hungry journalists were "no comment." I say no comment. We then pinned our hope on the public relations officer of the National Labour Commission, Muhammad Afum. This also proved futile. After hanging around him for 40 minutes, the only thing he could tell newsmen was that the process is still ongoing. The compulsory arbitration, which is a provision in the Labour Law Act 651 of 2003, became necessary following a deadlock in the process of migrating medical doctors onto the single spine salary scheme. Under the Labour Act, a compulsory arbitration team will consist of three arbitrators, each representing the government, organized labour and the employers' association. They will convene to consider the issues which have led to the current strike and the positions taken by both sides. The panel will then meet to decide how each outstanding issue will be resolved, after which it will issue a written report containing its decision or award, which shall be binding to all parties. The decision by the arbitrators can only be challenged in the Court of Appeal within 7 days after the publication of the award.
Yvonne Atilego reporting. A labor consultant, Austin Game, has cautioned both employers and employees not to toil or take for granted laws governing labor. He explained that the decision by the doctors to call off their strike has nothing to do with the recent fight in the metropolis, but the decision to negotiate through the compulsory arbitration. Mr. Game was speaking to Ibrahim Asari on Radio Ghana's Current Affairs program, Behind the News.
I'm happy back to work, but this bitter lesson for Ghanaians to go through is too painful, but it's better than having them to continue to stay out of business. Together with numerous other Ghanaians, we are much happy and satisfied that the Labour Commission has prevailed. The law has prevailed, and the beauty of Ghana will be seen by worldwide, you know, and hopefully should serve as a lesson to both employers and workers and their various unions who may want to take the law into their own hands and do whatsoever they wish with it. This should not be tolerated in a 21st century.
So, Mr. Game, the compulsory arbitration definitely is the reason why they call it a strike. I'm sure that's it.
Certainly, if any new introduction or inventions, they are just like what somebody would say, encomiums. The flood is not an issue. The numerous calls started from day one, not 19th day. It's about going to compulsory arbitration. And it's on record that some of us have been consistent from day one that they cannot proceed with compulsory arbitration without calling off the strike. Otherwise, Labour Commission will be dead.
A Labour consultant, Austin Game. The National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, is providing relief items and shelter for victims of the floods that hit Greater Accra. The National Coordinator of NADMO, Kofi Potofi, said NADMO officials have been sent out to the heavily hit areas to take their names and other details of the victims to be assisted. He said this in an interview with Radio Ghana after he toured some badly affected areas in the company of the Greater Accra Regional Minister, Niamh Ashite, the Chief Executive of the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, Alfred Vanderpoy, and the Deputy Interior Minister, Kobi Champong. Doreen Ampofu reports.
The capital woke up to heavy rains that flooded most parts, including Odona, Adabraka, Malam, Domi, and Alaju. At most places visited, residents had brought out their furniture, TV sets, fridges, and other belongings to dry and clean them. Others were also seen pumping water out of their homes with help from NADMO officials. Residents at Odona said three people died in that area, while another died at Aveno. I spoke to one of the victims who lost a son.
We were in the room when a young man came to call us that the area was getting flooded. My son went to check on his dog and entered the room. After a while, we could not find him, only to go into the room and find him electrocuted.
Some residents also shared their experiences.
When it rains, it destroys our things. I lost my child, so government should help.
My brother,
that's my brother's house. He didn't take it.
The project and the graphic roads in the public, they have been heavier rains, but they didn't suffer anything.
When it rains like this, we become indebted and destroy
The National NADMO coordinator, Kofi Potofi, said the flood was unexpected However, NADBO will ensure that the victims are supported.
You see the property destroyed and people who have lost, in the market for instance, they lost almost everything. And the walls that are broken is enormous. And it poses an enormous engineering challenge to the engineers of the city and to try and take hold of the engineering problems that we are identifying. We have evacuated more than 250 of them who were endangered. We will register them, provide them with some relief items so they can be comfortable with blankets or mattresses where to sleep. Today, we have to provide those things.
The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nyama Asiti, said government recognizes the extent to which the people have been affected by the flood. He said apart from NADMO's support, Maslok will give financial assistance to marketsmen and traders who have lost their wares.
This is a very sad day for me, going around and seeing what people have suffered from. I'm just shattered. Where traders are concerned, to bring Maslok to assess the loss and to see if they could not advance some small loans for them.
Darlene Ampofu reporting. The Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Samuelufo Swampofu, says government will start prosecuting officials from the various municipal assemblies who condone with estate developers to put up unauthorized buildings. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Fuswampofu said anybody desiring to carry out building projects must first go through the right procedure for permit. He spoke to Abraham Asari.
The responsibility of the assembly is to ensure that everybody who wants to develop on any piece of land within the jurisdiction of that assembly goes through a process. And the process is first and foremost to apply to the assembly of your intention to do a development. And the assembly will assess the kind of development that you want to do, the area you want to do it, and to check whether it is feasible for that development to take place in that area. We are going to sanction the Kasutan officials who will go and condone and connive with developers. We cannot blame the developers alone. Sometimes the developers are best here to put something somewhere, but it is the responsibility of the assembly to say, hey, why are you going to put this and will cause a problem in the future?
Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Samuelufo Swampofu, was talking to Ibrahim Asari. Help has gone to a 4-year-old whole and heart patient, Manasseh Thompson, at the National Cardiothoracic Center in Kolibu Teaching Hospital. The president of the Petroleum Ladies Association of the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, Mamiya Idusei, donated a cash of 2,500 Ghana CDs with a call on other organizations and institutions to support the Heart Foundation to save precious lives, a report by Ellen Kujo and Dave Salati Atioto.
The donation forms part of activities to mark the association's annual week celebration. The president of the Petroleum Ladies Association, Mamiya Idusei, said the week is celebrated annually in October, during which donations are made to support hospitals. She said this year, the association found it important to assist the 4-year-old Manasseh Thompson, who has 3 holes in his heart and needed support to undergo surgery. Madam Idusei commended doctors at the Cardiothoracic Center at the Kolibu Teaching Hospital for their good works. Dr. Lauren Sribo said the Heart Foundation provides 50% of the cost of all heart surgeries but aims to bear the whole burden in the future. The Heart Foundation provides 50% of the cost of all heart surgeries but aims to bear the whole burden in the future.
The nurse has been very generous, benevolent, and been donating to the Heart Foundation. We haven't reached the target where anybody who requires heart surgery in Ghana will have it free without having to come up with anything substantial. Presently, the Heart Foundation is able to assist Ghanaians by paying 50% of the amount that is due them. We hope to reach that target where nobody needs to pay. The Heart Foundation fund with us. The results of surgery is so good that the children can now live normal lives, normal life expectancy. So when people, groups or individuals like you can help this patient, you know that you are really on a good course.
That was the acting director of National Cardiothoracic Center, Dr. Lawrence Rebo, ending that report by Ellen Kuju and Dave Salasi Atioto. Still on health, the Ghana Health Service has announced that the next National Immunization Days NIDs campaign against polio in all the 10 regions starts from today, October 27, to Sunday, October 30. It said the strategy will be house to house and the exercise will be synchronized with other countries in the sub-region to ensure that all children under the age of 5 receive the required doses of the polio vaccines in addition to vitamin A supplements. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Ghana Medical Association calls off strike. NADMO provides relief items and shelter for flood victims. Vice President Mahama in Perth, Australia to attend Commonwealth Summit. Millennium Challenge Cooperation pledges support to complete remaining projects under package. Cocoa Board asks stakeholders to focus on reducing deforestation. Liberia's opposition leader threatens to boycott presidential runoff. And Libya asks the UN to delay lifting of no-fly zone imposed on country. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total.
Welcome back. President Mills has sworn into office five new members of the National Commission on Civic Education, NCCE, the R. Charlotte Osei Chairman, Augustine Jineku, Philomena Ofei, George Kwenometo, and Ajara Mohammed Rufai. President Mills charged them to take seriously the constitutional mandate of NCCE by educating the people in all parts of the country. He said, as an independent institution, the commission will be expected to take decisions that are in the best interest of the nation.
Let me assure you that you are chosen on your own merit. Indeed, one felt that given your qualifications, your background, you could serve the people of Ghana admirably in these positions. By choosing you, however, we have thrust some very important responsibilities on you. Education, no one can deny, is the bedrock of the development of any society. Civic education is even more important when one talks about democracy. People must know what their rights are, but it's also important for them to know what their responsibilities are. When you study the Ghanaian scene today, you can draw your own conclusions as to whether some of us are only interested in our rights without thinking about our responsibilities, or there is a judicious balance.
President Mills said the government will resource the NCCE to achieve its constitutional obligations. This is because resource constraints have been the bane of the commission over the years.
Mr. President, my colleagues and I say thank you for giving us the honor, the privilege and the joy of serving Ghana. The NCCE was born in 1992 under our constitution, and we have been reminded by His Excellency of the aims and the functions and the mandate of the NCCE. The mandate and the responsibilities of the NCCE are very lofty. They are not obligations to be taken lightly. And indeed, the NCCE is a unique institution. You will find very few of its kind globally. In the 18 years or so of its existence, the Commission has made some inroads into achieving its constitutional obligations. Today, we will start the process of carving a new path to ensure that the NCCE accomplishes its obligations to the people of Ghana and creates a new Ghanaian.
That was the chairman of the NCCE, Charlotte Osei. The vice president of the Millennium Challenge Cooperation, Frank Fein, has expressed satisfaction with the level of development that Ghana has used a portion of the $547 million to do. She has therefore pledged to support the government to complete the remaining projects as the five-year duration assigned to the program comes to an end in 4 months' time. Mr. Fein said he is impressed with President Mills' genuine commitment to the implementation of the program to benefit the people. He was happy with the work done so far by the management of the Millennium Development Authority, MIDA, and the board.
In fact, I had the opportunity to attend the board meeting, and we got a very comprehensive report on the status of all of the activities. My assessment is one, it's a very ambitious program with a large array of activities that will provide very important infrastructure to spur economic productivity in the country. So I'm very pleased to see the level of infrastructure that's taken on. Two, that there's a genuine commitment by your government to implement this program. Three, that a great deal has been achieved, and it's very satisfying to see what's been achieved. And four, that a great deal remains to be done in the time remaining. And I'm here to give you my commitment that NCC's prepared to work with you and with your people to ensure that the program is completed in the time that's remaining.
Vice President of the Millennium Development Corporation, Patrick Fine. President Mills said the government attaches so much importance to the implementation of the Millennium Development Project and programs under the compact. This commitment, he said, stems from the government's desire to improve the living conditions of the people. As a result, the government has been careful in selecting people to implement the program.
It's a program that we take rather seriously because of the benefits that we are deriving from the implementation of this program. We have spared no effort in ensuring that we get the right kind of people, you know, to implement this program. And I am also satisfied with what they have done, although you can never always say that you are 100% satisfied. There are a few bottlenecks, but I'm really grateful to those in charge of this program for the seriousness with which they have attached to its implementation. And I think that's a credit to all of us.
President Mills. The Summit of Heads of State and Governments of the Commonwealth will open tomorrow in Perth, Australia. Leaders at a three-day summit will discuss a series of proposals, including setting up of a monitoring mechanism for human rights, issues of economic and social development, food and energy security. The Chogum is also expected to deliberate on the recommendations of an 11-member eminent persons group for sharpening the impact, strengthening the networks and raising the profile of the Commonwealth. Meanwhile, Vice President John Mahama has arrived in Perth, Australia for the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, which officially opens tomorrow. The conference will focus on building national and global resilience and renewal and is expected to advance democracy and development agenda for the 54-member association. Heads of government are also expected to consider matters relating to good governance, human rights, wealth creation, food security, and debate on aid effectiveness. Sources say attention is also expected to be on how to support the Commonwealth's 32 small states on mitigation and adaptation strategies. These 32 small states are Commonwealth countries with a population of less than 1.5 million people. The Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting comes ahead of next month's G20 meeting of world leaders, of which five are Commonwealth members: Australia, Canada, India, South Africa, and the United Kingdom. The Vice President is accompanied by Presidential Advisor Dr. Christina Mwakunyama, Foreign Affairs Minister Alhaji Mohamed Mumuni, Professor Kwame Nahoy, the Bunuhafu Regional Minister Kujunya Michemafu, and other government officials. The Association of Building and Civil Engineering Contractors Ghana has extended the closing date for the submission of entries for its maiden edition of Contractors Excellence Awards. The chairman of the technical committee of the association, Roxin Crisido Baga, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said the move has become necessary because of the increasing interest by more contractors. He noted that the contractors need to inculcate best practices in their operations in order to take advantage of these awards to enhance their competitiveness. He spoke to Maxwell Yusufu.
It has become necessary as a result of further demands from contractors for an extension again. It appears it is now that contractors are warming up into the exercise. So because those demands are coming and the fact that most of them are now understanding what the whole concept is about, at the technical committee meeting it was agreed that we extend the deadline for receiving of entry to the 9th of November.
What are some of the difficulties that are confronting these contractors who want to file nominations for these awards?
One will not say there are difficulties, except that they somehow are now getting to know of the award. It means some of them have not been reading the newspapers and they have not been following up on issues. So they are now getting to hear about them and summarize, and therefore making it necessary for us to extend the deadline so as to make sure that we give the opportunity to as many contractors that wish to participate in the maiden event. See, because it is also new, some are also wondering as to what is going to happen.
What strategies are you putting in place to further educate these contractors to come on board and then take part in this exercise?
We want to further deepen the sensitization session. In fact, we've had several sensitization sessions and we divided the country into three main zones. The first sensitization happened for Ashanti region and the northern region, the two regions in the north. So
So somehow we're going to further deepen the sensitization efforts. And now we are adopting also a direct marketing approach. It appears people want to have further dialogue on the issue. So we think that on one-on-one discussions and explanations on it, it will help rather faster for them to understand what the whole exercise is about and to give the opportunity to as many as want to participate in the meeting event. After this deadline, we are not going to extend anymore. We are getting closer to the date for the award itself, and after the 9th November, we are not going to extend anymore. So they should take advantage of the opportunity given them now.
That was the chairman, technical committee of the Building and Civil Engineering Contractors Ghana, Roxin Kosidobega, talking to Maxwell Yusufu. The chief executive officer of Cocoa Board, Anthony Fufi, has asked all stakeholders in the cocoa industry to make environmental protection their prime focus to reduce deforestation. He said the strategic steps are not taken to preserve Ghana's forest. The country will soon lose its position as the number two cocoa producer in the world. Mr. Fufi said the cocoa industry in Ghana engages about 800,000 people in employment in six growing cocoa regions and must not be allowed to dwindle through bad environmental practices. He was speaking at the 20th partnership meeting of the World Cocoa Foundation, hosted by the Ghana Cocoa Board in Accra. George Asika reports.
The World Cocoa Foundation has been working with local government and farmer organizations in Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire, as well as other cocoa-producing countries in Central Africa for the past 10 years. The chief executive officer of Cocoa Board, Anthony Fofi, said his outfit was able to inject $2 billion into the Ghanaian economy in the 2010-2011 cocoa season. He mentioned the mass cocoa spraying exercise and cocoa farmer pension fund, which is expected to be operational in January 2012, are some of the measures being put in place to boost cocoa production in Ghana. The president of the World Cocoa Foundation, Bill Garton, said his organization will extend its youth education program in Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire up to 2015 to enable more young people to have access to education. He said the World Cocoa Foundation will invest in new innovations with its partners in areas like labor-saving technologies, improvement in planting materials, and the use of ICT to reach more farmers in a cost-effective manner. Mr. Garton stressed the need for donors to adapt strategies that will help improve the living standards of cocoa farmers. George Asikri, Radio Ghana, Accra.
We are back after this break.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Now to the foreign front. Nigeria's opposition leader Winston Tubman has threatened to withdraw from next month's presidential runoff unless the leadership of the National Electoral Commission, NEC, is sacked. Mr. Winston Tubman has accused NEC of favoring President Johnson Sirleaf in the poll and of not taking his complaints of fraud in the first round of votes seriously. Libya has asked the UN Security Council not to lift the no-fly zone it imposed on the country until the transitional government makes an official request, possibly before October 31. Libya's Deputy UN Ambassador Ibrahim Dabashi was speaking to the UN Security Council, said Libyans are looking forward to terminating the UN mandate as soon as possible. He said the transitional government needs to evaluate the security situation and the country's ability to monitor its borders before it can ask for the no-fly zone to be lifted. And in football, eight countries have so far confirmed their participation in the upcoming third amputees African Nations Cup to be hosted by Ghana from the 18th to the 27th of next month. The tournament will see Angola, Nigeria, Kenya, Niger, South Africa, Senegal and former champions Liberia competing for honors. The president of the African Amputee Federation, Francis Ajetisowa, believes the Black Challenge of Ghana will show class and win the ultimate.
Angola, Kenya, Liberia, South Africa, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Nigeria, and South Africa have sensitively confirmed their participation, they are sending their inputs for accreditation. In Ghana, we are focused on sending the head coach, Ali Yara and Benjamin Yama. I can say that they are very agile. They are looking at what they can actually take to Ghanaians. And the assurance is that they are not only hosting, but they are going to host and win as well.
You have the president of the African Amputee Football Federation, Francis Ajetisua. And now to end the news, the main points again. The Ghana Medical Association has called off its strike due to what it has described as numerous appeals made by people and the current flood situation in Accra. Vice President Mahama is in Perth, Australia to attend the summit of the heads of state and government of Commonwealth Chogum. And Libya has asked the UN to delay lifting of no-fly zone imposed on country. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.